Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Evelyn Partners Investment Podcast. I'm Angelique Ritzeker, and with me today is Daniel Casali, our Chief Investment Strategist. We're going to be discussing why global economic growth has been far more resilient and inflation has been slowing. We're also going to look at large caps and how they have been a key driver of company earnings. We are recording this remotely on Friday, the 8th of March, 2024. And before we begin, here's some important information.
Nothing in this recording is intended to constitute advice or recommendation, and you should not take any investment decision based on its content. Any opinions expressed may be subject to change without notice. Remember that the value of investments can fall as well as rise, and you may not get back the amount you originally invested. Past performance should not be considered a reliable indicator of future returns. Different funds carry varying levels of risk depending on the geographic region or industry sector in which they invest. You should make yourself aware of these specific risks prior to investing. If you're unsure about the suitability of an investment, or if you need advice on your specific requirements, you should seek professional financial advice.
So why has global growth been more resilient?
It really goes back to the pandemic, when many workers left the workforce for health reasons or retired early. This then led to firms going on a hiring binge. Take the US, demand for available workers is running around 2 million higher than the supply of workers. This points to a healthy labour market to support the economy and increases the likelihood that the US can avoid a recession. Because the US economy has held up well, so has the global economy.
And central bankers have now a major challenge, which is to balance growth with inflation. So talk us through why this is such a balancing act.
Yeah, it's certainly a tough one. A key risk for financial markets is that the central bankers get it wrong and solid growth could rekindle inflationary pressure. Under that scenario, the central bankers would then have to consider their intentions to cut interest rates. However, they seem to be a bit more sanguine about the inflation outlook. Take the Bank of England. Some Monetary Policy Committee members noted that inflation could drop below 2% in the spring, enough to warrant an interest rate cut.
Well, given that, do you not think that the Bank of England is being complacent?
Sure, there is a risk that they are being complacent. After all, elevated wage growth is still a concern for the hawks on the MPC. For instance, the data from the bank's annual agent survey expects wages to expand by about 5.4% in 2024, which is above the 4% rate of consumer price inflation in January. Should wage data come in stronger than expected, it could lead to upward cost push and pressure where prices go up. And under that outcome, investors could well have to wait until later in the year for Bank of England interest rate cuts. So the bank's job is to balance growth with inflation and ultimately interest rates. Is a very tough balancing act.
If we look at interest rate expectations have moved around a lot. We first expected rate cuts in March, and now we're halfway through March, and that hasn't happened yet. So when will we see cuts really then?
Yeah, looking at the futures market, those interest rates expectations have been pushed back. The Fed, the US Central Bank, is not expected to cut interest rates now until in June, and the Bank of England is expected to cut interest rates in August. So it's still some time away.
Which leads me to this particular question. Why is the Fed then expected to cut interest rates before the UK if growth is stronger over there?
Well, it really boils down to the US having a less tight and more flexible labour market than the UK. If you look at wage inflation, it's less of a problem over there in the US. The Comprehensive Employment Cost Index, and that includes wages, bonuses and benefits for US civilian workers, this grew by 4.2% in the fourth quarter of 2023 from a year ago. That's down from 5.1% in the second quarter of 2022. And importantly, the number of US workers quitting their jobs to look for better paid opportunities has steadily fallen over the past year. So as a lead indicator for the employment cost index, this quit rate suggests that the risk of an upward spiral in overall compensation rates has likely eased. There's another point here, and that is that the US is a more productive economy than the UK. So even if the US is growing faster than the UK and the US economy can produce more goods and services per worker, it is not necessarily inflationary.
Well, given all of that, I can't help but go back to something we've talked about before, which is about how AI stocks were a big theme in 2023. And I'd like to talk about how this will continue into 2024. Can you talk to me about how these AI-related Magnificent Seven affect market performance? We looked at the US, and I think it would only be fair to talk about these particular stocks again, given that they have performed so well. And now we may not be seeing that this year.
Well, AI was a big theme, as you say, in 2023, and it's likely to be so far in 2024. When we talk about these Magnificent Seven companies, these include Alphabet, which is the parent company of Google, Amazon, Apple, Meta, formerly Facebook, Microsoft, NVIDIA, and Tesla. These have become a dominant proportion of equity benchmarks. That group alone accounts for 29% of the S&P 500 by market cap, and was responsible for around 60% of the return that we saw in the S&P of 26% last year. Those Magnificent Seven stocks generate significant net income to enable them to outperform the equity benchmark and also lift the overall market.
But now we highlight that in our reports that only four out of the Magnificent Seven stocks are outperforming the S&P 500. NVIDIA and Meta have been the biggest drivers of returns so far in 2024, as both companies beat analyst estimates and posted strong earnings figures for the fourth quarter of 2023. But tell us a little bit more about how this has come about, and should investors be concerned?
Yes, we now have to have a little bit of a nuanced look on the Mag 7. This year has certainly been a slightly different story to 2023. But let's take NVIDIA, a company best known for designing some of the world's most advanced computing chips. It did see its earnings in the most recent quarter increase by over 450% compared to the quarter of the previous year. This rapidly increasing demand for chips is fueling this earnings growth, and particularly for the artificial intelligence part of their business. These advanced chips that they make are essential to accelerating AI-led processes. And the bumper earnings report saw NVIDIA's market cap increase by, believe it or not, $275 billion in one day. That's the largest daily increase in market value for any listed company ever. But alternatively, if we look at Tesla, it's had the worst performance of the group so far this year because of falling profit margins. It was the only member of the Magnificent Seven to miss on analyst expectations, and in the fourth quarter and had seen some large downward revisions to its earnings growth outlook. I mean, this could be due to its recent price cuts and introduced to stay competitive against some of their rival Chinese electric vehicle manufacturers.
Well, thanks for that interesting insight into the Magnificent Seven. They're always an interesting element to include and talk about, I feel. So to summarize, how should investors view the market outlook for the next few months or so?
Well, the macro environment remains supportive for company earnings. That's a key point, and particularly for these large cap stocks to drive the overall market, at least in the short term. Of course, there are risks, and particularly around inflation and interest rates and valuations. Analysts have already forecasted strong earnings outlook for most of these Mag 7 companies over the next 5 years, and valuations have already been bid up. The risk is that this group of stocks fail to achieve these elevated expectations, and given that the Mag 7 make up a decent chunk of US and global stock markets, should they miss their earnings forecast, it would likely prove a headwind for stocks overall. Nevertheless, on balance, solid economic growth and lower inflation probably means that this risk is manageable. And for us, we still remain optimistic on equities relative to bonds in this environment.
Great. Thanks, Daniel, for that roundup. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. All references and lines spoken about this episode can be found in the episode show notes. And you can find lots of other investment articles on evelyn.com, including our latest outlook. Daniel will be back with us in the studio for our next podcast episode, and we'd love that you could join us if you can. Please do subscribe to our show if you haven't done so already, and you can rate us and review us on the App Store. Until next time.